Good afternoon, and it is March 7th, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 16:06 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you again today. The study is from Chapter 8, Paragraph 2 of the Crucible of Credible Creed, C3, that article. We also call it the Crucible article. And we've got our readings from First Chronicles also today, it's going to be from chapter 26, and we're going to be very soon also today beginning the study of Joel, the book of Joel. But for now, little children, the study of the Crucible article. This is a remarkable thing. Pharaoh Sesostris II initiated irrigation development from the Nile to the Fayum oasis of Egypt, his greatest feat. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, 1990, volume 10, page 657, the greatest feat of Pharaoh Sesostris II was development of the irrigation system from the Nile to the Fayum oasis. And we've just talked about the Fayum yesterday. That's that region of fertility that was caused by this pharaoh initially. He was the one who started it, and that's important because he was the pharaoh who came after Amenemhat II, who was the pharaoh of Joseph's time in our chronology, which lines right up with the possibility that Sesostris II was either working close with Joseph, or that Joseph himself was that pharaoh in particular. Joseph's canal remains a testament to Joseph today. It's that canal that was developed evidently during the time of Sesostris II, because that's the canal that brings the water to the Fayum. And it's called Joseph's Canal. So it's very, very, very plain to see that if Joseph was one of the pharaohs, it would be Sesostris II. It was an offshoot from the Nile, which was developed to be what was simply called Joseph's Canal. That's what Joseph's Canal was. It's also called the Bar Yusuf, or Bar Yusuf. And water channeled from the Nile irrigated the Fayum oasis. Using this canal. The large lake of the Fayum is often called Lake Moiris. How does the crucible of our chronology reveal the details of the time of Joseph and his rulership over all of Egypt? Well, that's a loaded question because the remarkable thing about this is that the time of Sesostris II is very well known because of an event that happened in the sky, the rising of the star Sothis during the reign of his successor, Sesostris III, whom we've also identified at different places in our articles. Sesostris III has been identified with one of the sons of Joseph, as Sesostris II was identified with Joseph, as being identical with, you know, those people. In other words, it's possible Sesostris was Joseph and that his son was Sesostris III, who was the other, one of the sons of Joseph. We're not going to get into those details today, but the details about which son of Joseph and all of that, because that's been covered at great length in great detail in the other articles, and it's going to be perhaps mentioned here in this article later on. But this idea of that it's well known what time period it was based on the astronomy, which wasn't mentioned here, but that's another point that we are mentioning. It wasn't mentioned in the article here, in the paragraph, I mean, here. But that's important to know that we know about the chronology of the time period of Sesostris II, because we know about his son's time period very accurately, and the 12th dynasty was one of the most accurately known time periods in the Egyptian of any time period. It's the most accurately known, it is said, of any time period prior to the New Kingdom. So, where the New Kingdom is 1550 BCE, and later than that, that's the New Kingdom. The 12th dynasty is in the 1900s BCE and later. The first king of the 12th dynasty is 1970 or 90. Well, it's actually depends where you put the beginning of the 12th dynasty. But Sesostris I was 1970 or 1980 BCE. In that time period, I believe that's right. 1990, I think, is the date of Amenemhat I, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, but these dates are subject to the analysis of different commentators, of course. In our chronology, we would have it that Amenemhat II is the king of Joseph's time. And we just use the chronology of one of the major Egyptological authorities, you know. So, I mean, it's very standard and usual what we... That was the reason why, was because I wanted to know whether the Bible chronology that we had figured out was in fact making sense, you know, whether it made sense that there could have been the events of the Bible happening at that time. So I wasn't trying to create a new Egyptian chronology, far from it. And so the fact that it aligns with the Bar Yosef is just incredible. It's fantastic. That which is made crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot possibly be counted. That, little children, is today's proverb from Ecclesiastes 1 and 15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot possibly be counted. Both of those are unfortunate realities. In other words, if you're a builder, you want to build things absolutely straight, if they're meant to be straight, because it's very difficult to make it straight later on, or certainly more difficult, if not impossible. And also, that which is wanting cannot possibly be counted. That's, in a way, that can be encouraging. You don't really worry about things if you don't have it, it's one less thing to worry about. Actually, that's encouraging, but it's also a sad reality that there are so many things that are wanting in this world that they cannot be counted. Now, today's reading from 1 Chronicles 26. I just woke up. I went to bed much earlier last night because I needed to catch up on my sleep. And then today, when I woke up, I got up after only about 4 or 5 hours sleep, and I was feeling fine, but I was napping this afternoon in my chair, sitting here. I was falling asleep napping, and so I'm still a little bit groggy. For the divisions of gatekeepers, 1 Chronicles 26, of the Korahites, Meshelemiah, the son of Kore, of the sons of Asaph. And Meshelemiah had sons, Zechariah the firstborn, Jediah El the second, Zebediah the third, Jasniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Jehohanan the sixth, Eliehoenai the seventh, and Obed-Edom had sons, Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, and Sachar the fourth, and Nathanael the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Peulathai the eighth, for God had blessed him with eight sons, and Shemaiah his son. To Shemaiah his son there were sons born that were rulers of the house of their father, for they were capable, mighty men. The sons of Shemaiah, Osni, and Rephael, and Obed, Elzabad, whose brothers were capable men, Elihu, and Semachiah. All these were of the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brothers, capable men with the power for the service, 62 belonging to Obed-Edom. And Meshelemiah had sons and brothers, capable men, 18. And Hosea of the sons of Merari had sons. Shimri was the head, for he did not happen to be the firstborn, but his father appointed him as head. Hilkiah the second, Tebaliah the third, Zechariah the fourth. All the sons and brothers of Hosea were 13. Of these divisions of the gatekeepers, the headmen had duties exactly as the brothers did, to minister at the house of Jehovah. So they cast lots for the small, the same as for the great, by their paternal houses, for the different gates. Then the lot to the east fell to Shelemiah, for Zechariah his son, a counselor with discretion. They cast the lots, and his lot got to come out to the north. Obed-Edom had his to the south, and his sons had the storehouses. Shuppim and Hosea had theirs to the west, close by the gate. Shalaketh, by the highway that goes up, guard group corresponding with guard group. To the east there were 6 Levites, to the north for a day 4, to the south for a day 4, and for the stores 2 by 2, for the portico to the west 4 at the highway, 2 at the portico. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers of the sons of the Korahites and of the sons of Merari. As regards the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasures of the house of the true God, and over the treasures of the things made holy. The sons of Ladan, the sons of the Gershonite, belonging to Ladan, the heads of the paternal houses belonging to Ladan, the Gershonite. Jehieli, in other words, the sons of Jehieli, Zetham and Joel, his brother, were over the treasures of the house of Jehovah, Yahweh. It occurred to me last night, Yahweh could also be pronounced Yahweh instead of Yahweh. Yahweh is possibly what the pronunciation is. That makes even more sense. As far as what it means in German and in French, it sounds more like German yes followed by French yes, Yahweh. It's interesting to pronounce it that way. As for the Amramites, for the Izharites, for the Hebronites, for the Azaelites, even Shebuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was a leader over the stores. So this is remarkable. This is really remarkable, because this tells us, shows that from verse 24, that the son of does not mean, obviously it doesn't mean the literal son of, that Shebuel was not the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, wasn't the direct son of Gershom, who was the actual son of Moses, but Shebuel must have been a descendant of Gershom, and still the word son is used. We say that because the time of David was 1017 at the latest, at the end of his reign, and that's 476 years after the Exodus, at about which time Gershom was born. So a son of Gershom to be alive 476 years after the birth of his father doesn't ring true, because people didn't live that long back then. And so the word son is used as a figurative expression, meaning descendant. And that's maybe the best example in all of the Bible that we can find that proves that. There probably are other examples that are as good or better, but that's really a good one. As regards his brothers of Eliezer, there was Rehabiah, his son, and Jeshaiah, his son, and Joram, his son, and Zikri, his son, and Shelomoth, his son. Now, these are probably actual direct sons. This Shelomoth and his brothers were over all the treasures of the things made holy that David the king and the heads of the paternal houses and the chiefs of the thousands and of the hundreds and the chiefs of the army had made holy. From the wars and from the spoil, they had made things holy to maintain the house of Jehovah. And also all that Samuel, the seer, and Saul, the son of Kish, and Abner, the son of Ner, and Joab, the son of Zeruiah, had made holy. What anyone made holy was under the control of Shelomith and his brothers, evidently also called Shelomoth there as well. Shelomoth, Shelomith. Of the Izharites, Kenaniah and his sons were for the outside business as officers and as judges over Israel. Of the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his brothers, capable men, 1,700, were over the administration of Israel in the region of the Jordan to the west, for all the work of Yahweh, and for the king's service of the Hebronites. Jerijah was the head of the Hebronites by its generations by forefathers. In the 40th year of David's kingship, they were sought out, and valiant, mighty men came to be found among them in Jazer in Gilead. And his brothers, capable men, were 2,700, heads of the paternal houses. So David the king assigned them over the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of the Manassites for every matter of the true God and matter of the king. And that's the end of 1 Chronicles 26. But interestingly, Reubenites is mentioned right there. And we're going to find, when we do our reading from Joel today, Joel chapter 1. We won't find it directly in the reading from Joel, but it's in the commentary of the very well-known Adam Clark. He mentions the tribe of Reuben was the tribe from which Joel sprang. He was the son of Pethuel. As Joel 1 says, the word of Jehovah that occurred to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Well, Pethuel was the second, he was the father of Joel, but Joel was the second of the 12 minor prophets, who is said, as is said, Mr. Clark writes, of the tribe of Reuben and the city of Bethoron, or rather Betharon, for Bethoron was on this side of the Jordan in the tribe of Ephraim, and Betharon was on the other side of the river in the tribe of Reuben. In fact, Ephraim is the same son of Joseph of whom we describe the identity with Sesostris III, actually, as Pharaoh of Egypt. But Joel prophesied in the kingdom of Judah, it says, Mr. Clark says, and it is the opinion of some critics that he did not appear there till after the removal of the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom. But, I mean, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but the thing is, we don't know exactly when Joel prophesied. That's the point. He makes some more points there in his commentary, which you might read. It's quite a fairly lengthy commentary. Three paragraphs, four paragraphs, actually, I think. Yeah. Of commentary on the book of Joel by Adam Clark, to be found in many places, probably, but also on Bible Hub online. Hear this, you older men, chapter 1, verse 2, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has this occurred in your days or even in the days of your forefathers? Concerning it, give an account to your sons, and your sons to their sons, and their sons to the following generation. What was left by the caterpillar, the locust has eaten, and what was left by the locust, the creeping unwinged locust has eaten, and what the creeping unwinged locust has left, the cockroach has eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep and howl, all you wine drinkers, on account of sweet wine, for it has been cut off from your mouths. For there is a nation that has come up into my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion, and it has the jawbones of a lion. It has set my vine as an object of astonishment, and my fig tree as a stump. It has positively stripped it bare and thrown it away. The twigs of it have become white, wail as a virgin girded with sackcloth does over the owner of her youth. What is the nation talked about? Well, it could be, it's talking about a plague of locusts that would devastate the land, according to also the Watchtower April 2020 edition, an attack coming from the north. The article called that. Paragraph 3, it says, Joel foretells that a plague of locusts will devastate the land of Israel with teeth and jaws like those of lions. And verse 6 said, for there's a nation that has come up into my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion. So this could be the prophecy about, as Mr. Clark also says, about this destruction that came from the locusts, these little creatures that they come with wings and they fly, and they're very destructive to crops. You know, it's primarily applicable, according to Mr. Clark, this prophecy is to the locusts, and which would be accompanied by drought and famine, but it also signifies a Chaldean invasion, which was, of course, it did come also to the kingdom of Judah. Grain offering and drink offering have been cut off from the house of Jehovah. Verse 9, that was, and still is, the priests, the ministers of Jehovah, have mourned. Verse 10, the field has been despoiled. The ground has gone to mourning, for the grain has been despoiled, the new wine has been dried up, the oil has faded away. Farmers have felt shame. Vine dressers have howled on account of wheat and on account of barley, for the harvest of the field has perished. The vine itself has shown dryness, and even the fig tree has faded away. As for the pomegranate tree, also the palm tree and the apple tree, all the trees of the field, they have dried up, for exultation has gone ashamed away from the sons of mankind. Verse 13 now. Gird yourselves and beat your breasts, you priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come in, spend the night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God, for from the house of your God grain offering and drink offering have been withheld. Sanctify a time of fasting. call together a solemn assembly, gather together the older men, all the inhabitants of the land, to the house of Jehovah your God, and cry to Jehovah for aid. Alas for the day, because the day of Jehovah is near, and like a despoiling from the Almighty One, it will come. Has not food itself been cut off before our very eyes from the house of our God, rejoicing in joyfulness? The dried figs have shriveled under their shovels. Storehouses have been laid desolate. Barns have been torn down, for the grain has dried up. Oh, how the domestic animal has sighed! How the droves of cattle have wandered in confusion, for there is no pasturage for them. This is a rather sad prophecy, isn't it? Also, the droves of the sheep have been the ones made to bear guilt. To you, O Jehovah, I shall call, for fire itself has devoured the pasture grounds of the wilderness, and a very flame has consumed all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field also keep longing for you, because the channels of water have dried up, and fire itself has devoured the pasture grounds of the wilderness. That's the end of Joel chapter 1. Little children, that's the end of our reading for today. We know how fires can start, wildfires can start and burn the trees, but it can also, of course, burn the field, even if it doesn't spread further. That this is how the pasture ground is refreshed also, and it's cleansed by this, by the fire that burns away the old and allows room for the new to grow. But it's also very much more difficult for the animals, those who feed on the pasture grounds, if they have been burned up, as that prophecy points out there. In chapter 1 of Joel, which we just completed today. So, we have a few more minutes, certainly. 5 minutes or so to talk about things. Yeah, I'm measuring things to do with my washer and dryer. There are no issues with any dimensions or anything. So the new washer is slightly narrower or the same width as the old washer, but the old dryer can be moved if necessary, but it's everything looks like it fits perfectly. The new dryer has to go in beyond the old dryer slightly. I mean, it's going to go right next to it, but there's a lot of extra space there, but it's not a tight fit, I'm saying, at all. There's something like at least 33 inches or more for a unit that's about 27 inches wide or something like that. So it there's lots of room, but the wood stove is nearby, so but it's not, you know, it's out from the wall, and there's an extra, oh, I don't know, 3 feet or something, or, you know, to fit the dryer in before it has to go in that 33-inch wide slot. But there's a lot of extra room there. It's just a question of negotiating through there without contacting the wood stove or the old dryer on the way in. That's the only thing. But there's lots of room to do it. There's lots of room for it to fit, and there's also room to maneuver. But it's not a wide open space. You know, there is the wood stove in there also. So I had to consider all these things before I ever ordered these things. But I had to double check afterward too and make sure the measurements are correct and that everything is okay. And it is. So we're receiving things possibly on Saturday, and I'm preparing for that. That's why I'm trying to get back on a daytime schedule so that I can be awake at the right time. But that's not the only reason. I was so tired I needed to catch up on sleep last night. Couldn't stay awake. And today I couldn't stay awake this afternoon. I needed to catch up on my nap. But yes, I was saying yesterday about, I wanted to talk about vitamins. I never did say much about it. I never got to talk much. This is what it looks like. My vitamins, I've already taken quite a few of them, but these are the containers I'm keeping them in. Got the vitamin C with the vitamin D in this, 6 vitamin D and 2 vitamin C plus I'm taking one of these. I can't remember the name of it. It's a complex. Let me look it up. Let me go here. Maybe it'll find it. No, I didn't. Did I order it from that? From it? Okay. Okay. It's a very well-known vitamin. It's not a vitamin. It's something that goes along with vitamin C. And when did I order it? Okay, I'm getting closer. I also have these, which are omega 369. I take 3 of those a day. And of the vitamins, I've got the krill oil, 2 of those, and 2 of the cod liver oils, but I've taken 1 each of those already. And I have an amino acid supplement, which is a multiple, all different amino acids. And I have 6 of the vitamin K2, and also the glutathione and vitamin E in the D-alpha tocopherol form. But I have selenium and boron as well. And I've taken 6 vitamin K2 along with D in the gel cap, D and K2 together already today, along with my MK4 liquid, which I take twice a day, 20 drops of that, which has vitamin D in it as well, from Thorn. So, I mean, you can see I take a lot of different supplements every day. And now I'm looking for, it might pop into my mind here. Oh, I'm on the last page already. Huh. That's not, wait a minute, that's not. Why is that? Let's see. Is there not a record that goes further back than that? What's it called? I'm going to look it up. I'm going to go look it up. It's in the fridge, yeah. Of course, it's called quercetin complex. Quercetin complex. And it's something that you can take instead of, you know, if you don't have apples or if you want to just make sure that you've got all of the nutrients that go with vitamin C, quercetin complex is a good way to get that in a supplement without having to eat as much food, of course, to get that. And that makes you feel a lot better when you have vitamin C in your diet, because I take 4 grams a day of vitamin C. So what I showed you here is not everything. I've already taken some of, and I've got the 3 of the omega 369 also. The krill has omegas in it, and so does the cod liver oil. And I take a multivitamin as well, which I didn't mention yet, in addition to the amino acid. So, yeah, that's right. I take a lot of, so there's, in here, there's 6, 7, 8, you know what I mean? 9, I don't know. Someday I'll count them all up. I'm sure I take more than I'd take six and six and six and 20 drops and 20 drops. You know, so that's like 18. But if I'm just talking about the solid ones, 21 right there. I've got 21. I haven't even counted the ones. Well, yes, I did count 12 of these ones in these two containers. 21. 23, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36 at least, caps or gel caps, or whatever you want. There are many different kinds, or tablets. Selenium and boron are tablets, so they're very small. Oh, it's 35 minutes. We went over time. Anyway, that pretty well covers all the supplements I'm taking, but it's all for today's video, little ones. March 7th, 2024 of the Common Era, the time is 1642 hours Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. And in my behalf, by the way, my supplements are wonderful. They do really greatly improve my health. In my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie saying bye for now.